are going to bring a friend. Amen. November the 3rd. November the 3rd. So bring a friend. Everybody say bring a friend. Yeah. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Yeah. Got a friend in Jesus. November the 3rd. November the 3rd. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have a lot of scripture to go over tonight. And you know, I really felt stirred in my spirit to go this way tonight. And so I'm just not going to read a particular scripture. I'm just going to start and get into this tonight. And what I want to do is to stir your heart, stir your spirit, man, and kind of parallel this maybe with our nation tonight, because we're facing an election. And, you know, I think sometime that we do not understand where we are at. We're on the threshold of wrath or revival. And most people don't want to think about the wrath of God or the judgment of God. And I think it's important, you know, for us to understand. We talk about God's not angry with us. God's not angry with us. And I hope that God's not angry with me. I believe that. But I believe that God is angry against sin and darkness and the powers of hell. And I think he's angry against people that won't take a stand. And tonight, we're going to look back through some biblical history and highlight some things and just talk about a few people in the Bible that were extraordinary, whom God used in a very powerful, powerful way. And so that we can be put in remembrance that God can use us and that he wants to use us, because we are the people that make the dividing line, amen, as the body of Christ and believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Father, we thank you tonight for your word, and I ask you to give us enlightenment and understanding and wisdom. And Holy Spirit, we depend totally upon you. God, we just pray tonight for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Holy Spirit, touch our ears more than anything else. And I pray anyone who's listening tonight, God, will get tagged by the Spirit of God. Have your way tonight, Holy Spirit. Speak to us, through us, and for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Well, when you look back through history, and especially when you come into the book of Judges and you begin to read, you know, four generations after Israel had been freed and they were entering into the promised land, the Bible said, there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. A generation that knew not the Lord. And I'm going to read to you from Judges chapter number 2, verse 1. The Bible says, and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. God always keeps his word. He's not a covenant breaker. He holds fast to what he says. He brings to pass his word. Amen. His word. His word is life. It means everything. Everything is founded upon the word. You know, for us as believers, we need to adhere to it. Somebody say, I need to believe it. I need to believe it. And then he said, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no league. Listen to what he says. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Talking about the land that they're inhabiting. I want to tell you that you are to make no league with the sinfulness that's in this land. You're to make no league with it. You shall throw down their altars. Listen to what God says. You shall throw down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides. And their God shall be as a snare unto you. And it shall come to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, listen, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. So this is God's rebuke to the people. This is God stirring their hearts. He wants them to know that, hey, you're in trouble right now, because you haven't followed my commandment and you haven't done what I said. And notice, God wasn't talking to the heathen nations. He was talking to the church. Everybody say he was talking to the church. He was talking to his people because he said, I'm giving you this land. The reason that I'm giving you this land is because these people that are in it, they are heathen. They've committed abominations. They're sinful. And so I'm taking it from them and I'm giving it to you. And I am trusting that you are going to do what I say. Amen. Amen. And so in verse number 6, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And verse number 7 is one of those key verses. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord. Everybody say, they saw the works of the Lord. They saw his miracles. They saw his power. They saw that he did for Israel. All right, verse number 8. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the borders of the inheritance of Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash, and unto all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there rose another generation. Here it is. And there rose another generation after them. After who? After the ones that died off. After the ones that died off, that paid the price, that got in God's face, that sought after his heart. And one of the things as you study this is you find out that one of the things that God is saying about these people in the original language is that they loved him all their heart, their mind, their soul, their body, their strength. Because he's pointing back at something. He said all these people, Joshua's died. He's the one that went into the land. He was one of the heroes of faith. These people that have kept my word. All of these people died and there rose another generation. Everybody say another generation. And I would say with the succession of every generation, there probably was a diminishing of people's relationship with God. Amen? Man, you think about today with all the generals that have passed off the scene and the mighty moves of God, you know, that we have seen in the past and great men of God, great women of God, the mighty signs and wonders that they did. And a lot of our fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers saw that stuff. I can remember as a little child sitting in the living room at my granny's house watching Oral Roberts through what looked like snow, an old black and white TV, and him sitting up on the platform in a chair praying for people and God healing them on national television. And he would say, oh God, heal. Heal this little boy. Heal this little girl. And they would be healed. But see, we remember things like that. But I want to ask you, when is the last time that we saw something like that on CBS, NBC, ABC? Since Billy Graham passed off the scene, it's almost like there's nobody that can step up and take that place on national ground or even internationally. And I think that what we're seeing is a replication of what's going on right here, because there rose a generation. And I believe that with all of my heart, that as we look at the church today, that we can see some significant parallels like that are going on here. There's a diminishing of faith. What people believe, how they believe it, because right believing produces right living. Amen? And we're to follow after God of all our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. And so we're going to read on, verse number 11. And the children of Israel, now listen to this. After these died, passed off the scene, and they were dead and buried, this generation rose. And in verse number 11, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Boy, that didn't take long. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people today that have been in Christendom that are now serving Baal and Ashtoreth. Molech. There's a lot of people in Christendom that agree with abortion. They agree, you know, with homosexuality. They, you know, because our pulpits, in the pulpits, they have ordained people to stand behind pulpits that are immoral and ungodly. I know today I was on a Zoom call and they were talking about the percentage of porn that was in the church. And they were talking about that there was such a high percentage of ministers that were actually addicted to porn. People in the congregation, it was like somewhere around 70 to 80% of people that are hooked on porn. And I can tell you, I believe that statistic. I believe it because your telephone, your computer, your television, everything is so accessible and everything is filthy. You listen to me. That advertisement that comes on in the middle of your black and white program where two men are kissing and two women are kissing and this immorality and this godlessness and this alcoholism and all the different things that are out there, that's a sign that we're in danger. And I'm praying, God, give us mercy come voting time. We cannot have Kamala Harris in. Somebody said that's a political message. Yes, it is. We can't have a Marxist in. We can't have people that were in the Democratic Party that took God out of their platform. I heard them say it right on national TV. The other day I heard her say, you know, you don't need to be in here. Talking about a believer. And so I want to say to you tonight, that when we read these scriptures right here, it's like looking in the mirror. God's word is a mirror. You can't find out where you're at until you look in the word. Look what he says. And the Bible says in verse 12, and they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers. Oh, we don't care what our granddaddy did, what our great-great-grandfather did. We don't care what kind of tent they pitched. We don't care what kind of miracles they had. We don't care how they believed God. We just don't care about that. We found out that God is a little different. I want to tell you, God hadn't changed. He will never change. If he did, he would break Scripture. And the Bible says Scripture cannot be broken. So he's the same when, yesterday, today, and forever. I am God and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, I want to say this to you tonight as we go into this. I believe the church is the greatest entity upon this earth. And I believe God is breathing upon the church right now. But I believe the church has a way to go. Amen. Number one is we're in that Zoom meeting today and we were talking about the problem with pornography and immorality and these things because that's all we talked about. I'm sitting there and I'm burning on the inside. I'm saying the pulpits of America need to be cleaned out. They need to be swept like a man takes a rag and wipes a bowl with it. Amen. If you're a minister and you're on porn, sit down. Sit down. You're going to make a mess. You're going to wreck. You're going to hurt people. You're going to destroy things. And you can't say, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. No, listen to me. I already know ministers that have fallen, lost their marriages, lost their churches, all because of porn. Porn is destructive. It's something that God, it detests God. He hates it. He hates it. And so our pulpits have got to be clean. See, judgment must first begin at the house of God. If it begins with us, where shall the sinner and the ungodly stand? Think about this. If the righteous shall scarcely be saved. That's scary. That's a scary scripture. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love the grace scriptures, and I believe in grace, but I also believe that there's a side of God that says, I ain't putting up with that. Now, if you want to play that game and go to hell, you can. But if you're serious and you want to go to heaven and believe in the blood that my son Jesus shed on the cross for you, you can go there. You can go to heaven. But you're going to live godly and holy and righteously in me. Amen. That doesn't mean that you might not have a few problems in your life, but I'm going to tell you, God is looking for people and saying, looking at people and saying, be an overcomer. Be an overcomer. I'm not meaning play. Listen, if you're serious about overcoming something, you stop it. If you have to, get rid of your telephone. Get rid of that computer. Throw those books away and close down the television channel. Get out of it. It's really shameful that goes on in the body of Christ because, number one, it is so degrading and so demoral and so seductive that it causes people that are involved in it to get engaged with sinners and people in the world and look at their porn too. It does. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of sin, followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. They did what? They provoked the Lord to anger. In other words, they didn't care. Now, God, we say things like, I'm weak. Well, get strong. Build up your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. See, instead of majoring in porn, may and praying in the Holy Ghost. Major in praying in the Spirit. Major in reading the Word. When the devil tempts you to go to porn, get in the Word. Go straight to the Bible and start reading it. In other words, when you turn away from that temptation and turn toward God, you're taking that thing by the roots and you're extracting it from your life. Same thing with alcohol. The same way pot. Just because the nation has legalized pot doesn't mean you have to smoke it. Amen. See, we have a lot of things, and see, that when we do that, we don't understand, but when you do it, it weakens the body of Christ. It weakens the church. For why should the people say, why should they say unto the people, where is your God? If God is among us, Gideon had a legitimate question. He said, if God be for us, then where are, is with us, then where are his miracles? Where is his power? Where's that other Oral Roberts at? Where's the Catherine Kuhlman at? Where is the Charles Grandison Finney? Where is the Peter Cartwright? Where are those men of faith, those reformers of the past, the John Husses, the John Wycliffe? Where are those reformers at? Where are people of that character and caliber at today? Okay? Now listen. And they bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. Verse number 13. Listen again. Here it is again. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Asherah. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Now, I'm going to tell you what happens. It's when you get in sin and God comes and starts dealing with you and you don't turn from it, the enemy is released against you. You've pushed God back. And when you do that, that same devil that tempted you and said, hey, it's okay, don't worry about it. You know, you make your own decisions in life. You do all of that. And we all make choices in life. But every choice costs us. It either pays a good dividend or pays something bad. Amen? Amen. So it's important for us to understand, you know, that everything that I do is affecting somebody. Amen? And so here, the anger of the Lord is kindled, and what happens to them? He sails them or lets the enemy loose upon them. They did it to themselves. Amen? Because when you push God away, it's nowhere else for him to go. Because between you and him, you better believe that enemy's coming. He's coming. Somebody say, he's coming. Listen. This was a people that were powerfully delivered. My God, you think about how Israel came out of bondage. And what were they to do? Remember they took the stones of remembrance and put them in the Jordan River before they crossed over? And God told him, he said, this is that when your children see these stones, that they'll say, oh, what do these stones mean? Oh, this is the God that brought us through the Red Sea, drowned Pharaoh's army. This is the God that caused our enemies to flee before us, that gave us angels food. This is the God that gave us water from the rock. This is the God that did all these great things for us. They were to remember that and pass it to their children. And so this is so important. So these people were powerfully delivered. They experienced God's miracles. They experienced his provision. They experienced his protection, they experienced his mercy. Amen. And they said, we want to follow you and we want to know you intimately. That's what they said. God, we will do what you told us to do. We will keep the covenant. That's what they said. And see, the love of that great commandment is what he's talking about. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord, not porn. Thou shalt love the Lord, not alcohol. Thou shalt love the Lord, not pot. Thou shalt love the Lord, not adultery. Thou shalt love the Lord, not fornication. Thou shalt love the Lord, not sinful things, not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen? Because all that's in the world is an enemy with God. It's at enmity against him. Now listen. Now, from the end of King Solomon's rule, there were 39 good and evil kings. Listen real close, that reigned over Judah and Israel combined. And of the 39, there were only 8 good kings. And they all reigned in Judah. Israel didn't have a good king. So every single king in Israel, all 19 of them were evil. When you have evil leadership, When you have somebody in a pulpit that doesn't belong there because they're hooked on porn. I believe in restoration. I have restored people down through the years, many of them. Thank God, I believe in restoration. I believe in loving people, helping people. But I'm going to tell you, it's a different level when a man stands in a pulpit. Because you're caring for people's souls. And when you fall, your tail is going to drag a third with you. Because it's a seductive thing. We'll get there in a minute. But 19 were evil. And out of all of Judah and Israel's kings, Judah had 12 bad. Israel had 19 bad. Judah had 8 good. And Israel had no good. So you can begin to imagine that when a leader gets up in a land like a president, an emperor, any ruler or leader, and they say, it's all right to sacrifice your babies to the god of Molech. Burn them alive. Take them down to the valley of Hinnom and burn them there in the valley of Tophet. Take them and do it. Go down and dance nude around the phallic statues and go down and have yourself a good time with the Moabites and the Amorites. Go down and league yourself and join yourself to them. Matter of fact, get married to them. Because when you have leaders that do that, they don't only blur the line, they jumped it. And if you have a leader that says, you know, we don't want prayer in school. And I agree you can't legislate righteousness, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It's not legislating righteousness to teach a Bible in a classroom. If they're going to teach drag queens getting up and dancing and telling stories to little bitty children in kindergarten, surely to God somebody can get up and read a story about Jesus feeding 5,000, about his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Amen. And so when we begin to see this, you see the evil kings brought evil influence into the land because they were the top gatekeeper. Amen. Top gatekeepers. And so if a king is allowing the high places and gods to be erected and bringing gods into the temple of God and setting up their idols and having prostitute huts outside the city gates or outside the temple where you can have sex before you come into the temple and worship. Somebody say, my God. Oh, I think America's getting close to that. And there's no telling what goes on in some of these churches where homosexuals stand behind pulpits and lesbians stand behind pulpits. God forbid. When you begin to think about that, it begins to get kind of weighty. Because when God said he got angry at them, I don't think he's cooled off about that kind of sin. I think he still hates that sin. And somebody, you know, we hear it often today, you know, we're under judgment, some people say. And somebody say, well, God's not going to judge America. And somebody says, you know, God's going to do this and God's going to do that. You know, I do believe that God is going to pour out his spirit. I believe in revival. I believe we're going to have one. I believe we're seeing it happening in spots across this nation. But at the same time, I think we're going to see divine places, divine judgments fall. And that is the correcting hand of God that's moving. Somebody say, amen. Now, I want to talk about Josiah a little bit. Born in 648 BC, he died in 609. He was the king of Judah who set in motion a reformation that bears the name, that bears his name, and that left an incredible mark on Israel's religious traditions. So Josiah, now get this, we're going to break this down a little bit, God help me, was the grandson of Manasseh, who was not a good guy. King of Judah, and ascended the throne at the age of 8 years old after the assassination of his father Amon. Okay? And so Josiah was 8 years old in 2 Chronicles 34, verse, starting with verse 1, was 8 years old when he became king. Somebody say, that is young. I'd rather have an 8 year old than a 40 year old that's bowing down to false gods and devils and worshiping them and is involved in sorcery and witchcraft and that's involved in all this immorality. 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. And he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. I like that. And so something happened in the life of Josiah that forever changed him. Hilkiah the priest, the Bible says, goes and finds the book of the law in the temple. Now, this is interesting to me. I'm like, how does a high priest lose the book of the law? Somebody help me. How does a high priest lose the book of the law? Like a lot of people lose their Bibles. That's why I tell you, the phone is great, but you need one in your hand that you can mark in, write in, read. Come on. That phone will crash, but this won't. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so Josiah, Hilkiah the priest, finds the book of the law. And I thought about the American church needs to find the Bible again. They need to find it. George Washington, many of our founding fathers said that you can't govern apart from the Bible. I was thinking about how bad they hate the Word of God, but all of our judicial system, our laws are set up on that Bible. Amen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, listen to what it says, verse 3. And now it came to pass in the 18th year of Josiah that the king sent Shaphan the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought unto the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damages of the house, to the carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber, to hew stone, and repair the house. However, there need be no accounting made for them of the money that's delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully. That's good. Then Hilkiah the priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. I don't know where else it would be. I mean, duh, all places for a Bible to be. For the book of the law of Moses to be in the temple. Somebody say, in the house of God. In the house of God. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who was the scribe, and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered into the hands of those who are doing the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. And then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. I'd have been kind of nervous too. And Shaphan read it before the king. Wow, you think about the power of God's word. You think about the authority that it carries, the conviction that it produces, the power of the fear of the Lord that comes from its pages. And it happened when the king heard the words of the law of the book. Listen, he tore his clothes. And then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahiakim the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Milcah, the Shaphan the scribe, and Esahiah a servant of the king, say, go inquire the Lord for me, for the people, and for all of Judah concerning the words of this book that you found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. What had the people failed to do? What sins and abominations had they committed for this to happen here? What was the sin of Manasseh, for instance? See, Ammon's father. Manasseh was Ammon's father. He was responsible for rebuilding, listen to me, rebuilding the pagan. I always hate turning pages. Rebuilding the high places that Hezekiah had torn down. Let's back up to Hezekiah. Remember his reform? He came in, he ripped all that stuff down and brought revival and reform. He was a revivalist. He was a good king. And so Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. That's saying something. Josiah, the king of Judah, who was the son of Ammon. Ammon was a wicked king. Somebody say his daddy was a bad king. Who was the son of King Manasseh, who was a wicked king, who was the son of King Hezekiah, who was a good king, a reformer, and a revivalist. So Manasseh, listen to this, was the father of a wicked king, Ammon, who was the father of Hezekiah, who brought reform, revival to the nation. I know this is kind of hard to get, but I want you to listen to me. So this shows you what a seducing spirit can do. Especially if God's people are dull and carnal without the influence of the Word of God. It was important for people to go to the temple. It was important for them to hear the reading of the law. Because if you don't hear the reading of the Scripture, if you don't read your Bible, and I tell you that I like to read mine out loud, but if you don't read the Word, then you're not going to know how God feels about anything. And you're just going to be prey for anything that you hear on the TV or anything that anybody says about God because you haven't read it for yourself. If God's ticked off at something, I want to know. If God's upset at something, I want to be upset about it. If God's heart is against it, I want my heart against it. If God's heart's for it, I want my heart for it. If God gets blistering angry over it, I want to get blistering angry over it. Somebody say amen. I want to take the same stand that Jesus would take against it. You remember when Jesus went into the temple? Somebody say, he was a meek and nice guy, but he overthrew the money changers' tables, didn't he? He said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you turned it into a den of thieves. You brought your demons in here. And he ran them out. Somebody say, he ran them out. He ran them out. So especially if God's people are dull and they're carnal and they don't have the influence of the Word and they don't have temple worship, if they don't have church fellowship, amen? Church fellowship. Because think about this. While I'm doing tonight, the washing of the water of the Word is washing us right now. We're sanctified by the washing of the water of the Word. We're being cleansed right now by the washing of the water of the Word because things that I've said have provoked your spirit, man, to say, I need to take a checkup from the neck up. I need to get down, you know, right here 18 inches below my brain and find out what's going on in my heart, man. I got to look in here because right now I'm hearing people talking about how God's going to bless us and how he's going to do this, and we're singing God bless America and everything else, and God's saying, America, repent. Repent wholeheartedly with tears, with fasting, with prayers. And we just came through 21 days of that praying for our nation. I know Lou Engles, there was a million women in Washington, D.C. just a couple of weeks back. People are praying and seeking God. But you'd be surprised at the people who don't give a holy hoot because they say, que sera, sera, what shall be is going to what's going to be. Not going to change. And so the Word washes. It sets you apart when you read it. Somebody say, yes, it does. All right, so let's look back at what happens when that influence is lost, when it's rebelled against, when it's cast to the side, because that's what people do with it. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Hezekiah, son of Manasseh, was alive to see and hear his father's reform. Manasseh saw it. Manasseh lived in it. Are you hearing me? It's amazing how a person's heart can be led astray. There Manasseh sees his daddy, man, ripping down statues, tearing down idols, cleaning the land, removing the high places, doing all these things to bring reform and revival to the land. And Hezekiah did it. He's a great man. Somebody said he was a great king. So why could something like this happen? I could only think about this as I'm meditating today, how that oftentimes that children, they can get provoked to jealousy, to hatred. And they also can say, I love that power. I want that wealth. Because if I had it, I would do things differently. Because you're serving God your way. No, I'm not serving God my way. I'm serving God his way. Somebody say it's Yahweh or no way. Yahweh or no way. See, the mystery, they think, the mystery of why can't I do this? Why can't I bow to these idols? Why can't I serve these false gods? Why can't I do that? And I believe some of it came because of the voices that were speaking to Manasseh. And he was entertaining the voices that were speaking to him. Do you understand? Because with all that Hezekiah was doing, Manasseh had to be influenced. He had to see the right. Amen? In 2 Kings chapter 21, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now listen to these sins. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. How sad. And he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will be my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his sons pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He brought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord and provoked him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them, but they hearkened not. Wow. Isn't it sad to read that Hezekiah's son went and did this? It's sad. It's sad. I would have to say, I believe that there was a part of Manasseh that had been so seduced, he lost all reality and fear of God. Now listen. And Manasseh, here it is. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. That's what the scripture says. And Manasseh seduced them. The New Covenant is full of this stuff right here. Seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Jude talks about these spirits right here. Peter talks about these spirits right here. There is a great seduction right now that is in the church that is seducing people away from the faith to believe something other than what the Bible teaches. Amen. I say, man, you can do anything you want to. Your spirit's going to be saved in the day of Christ, but let your body go wild. I'm going to say, hey, baby, you better get control over that flesh. Somebody look at somebody and say, you better get control over that flesh. Get control over it. And the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations and has done wickedly above all that the Amorites did. Now that's saying something. Which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am. Let me stop right here. What I'm talking to you about kings, when they allow things to happen and when they sanction things, people in the nation think it's all right. Well, my God, they're the president. They're a teacher at Harvard. Oh, they're a teacher at Yale. These people are highly educated. No, they're fools. The Bible calls them morons and fools. But this seducing spirit seduced these people to go down that pathway, and it's happening today in America. It's happening in the church. That's why I appeal to people in the Pentecostal movement today. Man, we cannot give up any ground where the Holy Ghost is concerned. You keep your Baptist theology. You go to the Baptist church if you want to, where they don't believe in speaking in tongues and where they don't believe in the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You keep that stuff if you want it, but the Bible teaches something different from that. When you get full, somebody say, when you get full, you will speak with other tongues. That's only the beginning of the door and the gateway to get to all the spiritual stuff that God has. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, when you move and flow in the supernatural, when you walk through that door, man, everything that heaven has is being afforded to you right there. That's the conduit. Somebody say that's the conduit. Now listen. Behold, I'm bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, whosoever hears of it, both his ears shall tingle. My God, I don't want that to happen to America. I just don't believe that could happen to America. There's a lot of nations right now. Look at Germany. Poland. I mean, go back in history. Look at some of these places. They never thought it would happen. Oh, it's not going to happen. It's just like America. Oh, you know, it ain't no use in vote. My vote's not going to count. How dumb. It's sin. And everybody wants to be so dadgone limp. Fisted, that you're scared to say anything. What do you want to do? Wait till after election? My God, we need people to stand up and do the right thing right now. Amen. If we have the ability to cast a vote and say we can stop abortion, shouldn't we do it? If we can cast one vote and shut the border up, shouldn't we do it? If we can cast a vote and change the economy, shouldn't we do it? If we can cast a vote and stop this immorality that's in the land, shouldn't we cast the vote? I mean, I don't understand what's so hard about it. Well, I've been a Democrat all my life. I'm not Democrat and I'm not Republican. I am a Christian, my friend. I am born again by the blood of Jesus and I vote the Bible. And I'm not brainwashed. And I'm not for sale. Listen to what he says. I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. God said, all right, you don't want to deal with it? I'm going to deal with it. And I believe America's right here. Now, Brother Hughes is talking about the fear of the Lord. This is the fear of the Lord. He's a holy God. And I'm like, Lord Jesus. I mean, I was in prayer the other day just praying about the abortion thing. And, man, I was just sobbing and weeping and praying in the spirit and calling on the name of the Lord. I tell you, man, I'm really concerned about what's going on in our nation. I have been for years. If we don't get revival, we've had it. I'm just telling you right now. Somebody say, I don't believe that's faith. Believe what you want. I believe this word. I believe if we stay in this vein and we stay in this path, we are in desperate trouble. We're in trouble. See, that's why the Bible says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up a voice like a trumpet. All right, look, verse number 14. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. I don't know about you. I don't want to speak Chinese. I don't want to get nuked from Iran. Somebody said, I don't think that'll ever happen. Well, whoever thought that America would give intelligence to the enemy against Israel? Now, you explain that one to me. There's a whole lot of things that I never thought I'd see that I see. And I'm not going to sit down and pretend like I don't see it. I'm not going to be the proverbial ostrich and stick my head in the sand and prophesy, you know, and smooth things and all this kind of stuff. Man, I'm going to tell you, we're in danger. We need to pray. We need to call on God. We need to make our confession, stand strong in the name of Jesus, and believe God with everything within us that this election is going to turn out right. And then when, if it turns out where Donald Trump is elected, and I'm believing God that he is going to be, amen, that after he is, that I'm going to give some thanks and praise to God. We'll just have a celebration service and come in and celebrate to high heaven. Amen. Somebody say praise God. Victory won. Somebody say victory won. I'm getting ready to close here in just a few seconds. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much. Sounds like abortion. Till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Besides his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Josiah, the son of King Ammon, the son of Manasseh, came with the reverse effect. Now listen to me. Somebody said, God reverse it. So God had spoken through a prophet. Listen, 300 years early and prophesied Josiah was coming. Called him by name. Oh, this is amazing. In 1 Kings chapter 13, Right when Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn some incense, a man of God arrived in Bethel. See, old Jeroboam was burning incense to false gods. He was a wicked king. A man of God arrived in Bethel from Judah in obedience to a command from the Lord. He cursed the altar in the name of the altar in this message from the Lord. Hey, altar, altar, hey, altar. This is what the Lord says. Pay attention to this. A son is going to be born in David's dynasty. His name will be Josiah. He will sacrifice the priest who burn incense on you in these high places. Human bodies will burn on you. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar, made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord. Now this is what Josiah is getting ready to do. But isn't it amazing that God says, what you did, Jeroboam, this Josiah is going to come in and he's going to burn these priests, these false priests that you have. Somebody say false preachers, false Christ, all this junk. He said they're going to burn their bones on this altar. They're going to burn right here. That's what he tells him. Josiah comes. He's cutting a covenant to follow the Lord, to keep the commandments of the testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart, with all of his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal. This is Josiah. He said, this is what I want you to do, guys. He said, this is what we must do. We got to do it now. America, this is what you need to do. Get out all the articles made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kedron and carried their ashes to Bethel. Then he removed the idolatrous priests from the with whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem, and those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook of Kedron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook of Kedron, and ground it to ashes. And he threw its ashes on the grave of the common people, those people that were out there involved in this stuff. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the wooden image. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba. Also, he broke down the high places at the gates, which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among the brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through that fire to Molech. And then he removed the horses that the kings of Judah dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan Melech, the officer who was in the charge. See, I think it's important for me to read this. You got to hear it. And he burned the chariots of the sun with fire, the altars that were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made. It's like it's all, you just think about all the stuff that they allow in our capital and in state buildings and places across our nation. Demons. But you put a cross up, they won't start squealing. Amen. And the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, the king broke down and pulverized there and threw their dust into the brook Kidron. And then the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashereth, the abomination of the Sidonians, for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he broke in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and that high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, had he broke down, and he burned the high place and crushed it to powder and burned the wooden image. And Josiah turned And as Josiah turned, he saw the tombs that were there on the mountain. And he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar and defiled it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God had proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, "What gravestone is this that I see?" So that the men of the city told him, "It's the tomb of the man of God that prophesied this concerning you." Somebody say, God's going to keep his word. And he said, "Let him alone, let no one move his bones." So they let his bones alone and the bones of the prophet who came to Samaria. Now Josiah also took away all the shrines and the high places that were in the cities of Samaria. Samaria was the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger. And he did to them according to all the deeds that he had done in Bethel. He executed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned men's bones on them, and he returned to Jerusalem. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, "Keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant." Such a Passover surely had never been since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the king of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was held before the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums and spiritists, the household gods and the idols, and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, and that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Now before him there was no king like him who trusted the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might according to the law of Moses, nor after him did any rise like him. Wow. My goodness. See, that's what we need to do in America. I said, that's what we need to do in America. Believers, pastors, and leaders need to go through the land, tearing down every high place, casting down every idol, burning every foul thing that has to do with sorcery and witchcraft and demonism, overthrowing every work of the devil, and beginning to set things right. And I'm going to tell you something. It starts in prayer meetings, pulling down the strongholds of sorcery and witchcraft. See, right now, we don't understand it, but there's some things on the horizon. 3 more years down the road, and if we don't gain ground, I'm going to tell you, just as surely as I'm standing here in this pulpit, the devil will have a seat in the high school. He's already got inroads. He's already got strongholds. And for us to sit here and say, no, it's facetious for us to think such a thing. Don't you think that the devil doesn't have a plan? Because he does. He's got time on his hand. You don't. You're just going to live so long and you're going to pass away. But what you do right now is going to count. What you do for Jesus and the future generation, see, that's one of the things that we need to understand, that when that fourth generation came and Joshua and all the leaders had passed away, there wasn't anybody there to stood up and say, wait just a minute, Joshua was a man of God and a mighty hero of faith, and all of these people that came before him, Moses and all the others that kept the faith and the law, they led us through that wilderness and brought us into the promised land. I'm not going to let that go away unforgotten. Matter of fact, I'm going to stand my ground, lift up my voice, and let the truth be heard, so that no devil can come in here and do what he wants to do in Jesus' name. It's not popular. It's not easy. But we're going to have to do it. And I'm going to close with this. And the Bible said, and they were scoffers in the last days, mockers, who shall come, denying the faith, mocking you, mocking me, laughing at us, telling us that we're uneducated, just like that sign about Trump, that the uneducated people, what did it say? He loves the poorly educated. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're pretty poorly educated to do what Kamala Harris is doing. Amen. And so tonight, I want you to think about what we read. This is God's word. This is what God said. It's not what a man thinks. It's not a man's opinion. And we can't even walk out the door and say, well, that's his opinion. No, it ain't my opinion. It's God's word. It's what he said. It's what he said. And we got people, not, you're talking about the uneducated, but we have people that will say, well, you know, we're not under the law. But you know, for you to say that, you're really saying I'm not under the governance of the word. The handwritings and ordinances that were against you, he's nailed to the cross. But every scripture that Jesus quoted came out of the old covenant. Every scripture that Paul quoted came out of the old covenant. Every scripture that Peter, that Jude, that James, that John quoted, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all of these guys, all of these scriptures that they have in here came from the old covenant. And so the new covenant is the old covenant revealed. And so we need to understand God's character, nature, and purpose, and God's nature is he gets riled against wickedness and sin and darkness. And I'm just, you know, let's stand together. God help us. I know sometimes it's like today, you know, in that Zoom meeting when we were talking, it's hard to know how to deal sometimes with situations and when to speak and what to say. That's why we got to pray in the Holy Ghost to know the timings, to know the proper way for the Spirit of God to just speak it through us, to say it and to declare it. Because there's a lot of power in God's people. I mean, a lot of authority right here tonight. That if two or three shall agree, it shall be done. You think about that. We have authority to take the devil out in Jesus' name. So, Father, tonight we thank you for the word. Lord God, we pray for our nation. I pray for ministers. I pray for those, Father God, who are messed up on porn. I pray that they will sit down. I pray that they will sit down so that you won't have to set them down. I pray, Father God, that, Lord, that there will be ministers who will not be pious or full of pride or arrogant, but that will come to them according to your mercy and restore them. However long that should take, God, that they will be restored and helped in the name of Jesus. Father God in heaven, Lord, I know some of them feel like they, you know, we do live in glass houses. Our lives are open books. And Father God in heaven, I'm asking you right now, God, to rescue, to move in. But at the same time, those that are assigned by hell and sons of perdition, I pray that you would remove them in the name of Jesus. Father God, for your eyes are upon, Lord, the church. Your eyes run to and fro in the earth. You know all things. There's nothing hid from you. Father, I pray tonight, God. Lord, and we understand we're nothing apart from you. We have nothing apart from you. If it weren't for your grace and your goodness and your mercy and your Holy Spirit, where would we be? God, we pray for our nation tonight because its appetite, Father God, has been unleashed. And I pray that it will be harnessed through the power of God. I pray tonight, Lord, that there will be a turning of desire, Father God, away from the world and the lust of the world to the things of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch them deep down in their spirit, Lord. That, Father God, that those things that they may have heard their grandmother, their mother, their father, or heard in a Sunday school class, or Father, wherever, God, that you would touch that and cause it to come alive, that they will come out of that darkness into the light, into the marvelous light. Father, that your hand of grace would grip them and raise them up out of that filth, Lord. Father, that you would deliver them, cause the shame to pass away. Father, raise them up to be voiced against that evil. Father God, so deliver them that, Father, that they become bold against that sin and speak out. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, for the church in America to be bold to speak up, Father God, against the dragon, Father, that is spewing out visceral hatred and accusation against the body of Christ. Father, we pray tonight that, Lord, that those things will be chained and cast down in the name of Jesus. Bound up, O Lord. We ask, O God, for revival, Father, from coast to coast, from border to border in our nation. And Father, I pray that this thing about our borders will backfire in the face of the devil. And I pray that you will save them, that you will deliver them. Father God, that their hearts will be turned toward you. Let the power of the Spirit of God arrest them in Jesus' name. Father God, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in your people, Father. So Father, have your way. In the name of Jesus tonight, God, raise up Josiahs Raise up Josiahs who will be bold voices. And Father, not stop until the land is clean in Jesus' name. Father God, our schools, our colleges, our universities, our homes, our families. God, that you will move by your Spirit. We've got to have you. We are desperate, Father God. We are desperate because what we need cannot be brought by the flesh. It's got to be brought by your Spirit, not by might or by power, but by your Spirit, Lord of hosts. Come, Lord God. Come, Lord God. Come, O God. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Hey, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Esha kapatete le moshe. Come on, just lift your hands up to him right now. Oh God, we need you, God. We need you, God. Set this house on fire. Set it on fire. Let us hate what you hate, love what you love. The things of the flesh, let it repulse us. Oh God, let your love be made manifest in us, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, let us see the person that's bound, that's sinful, God, that's in that darkness. Let us see them like you do. Oh God, let us hear what you hear. Give us a heart like yours, Lord. A heart like yours, Jesus. God, for we know, Lord, being just hard-fisted doesn't get the job done. You died for these people, Jesus. You died for the world. The world is doing what it's doing because it's sinful. But your precious blood can destroy it all. Lord, we pray against that network of demonic activity, the witchcraft, the sorcery, the voodoo, the darkness, the demonism, the devil worship. We pray against those strongholds. We bind them. You foul devils, we cast you down in Jesus' name. Lord, we put your name above it because it is highly exalted, your word declares. And every foul thing in darkness has to bow to you. Jesus, move by your Spirit, Lord. Move by your Spirit, Jesus. Move by your Spirit, Lord. You know, that silence reminds me of that silence in heaven right before something crushing comes. But I believe it is a signal that says we must keep praying. We must keep praying and stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. Reach across the line. Hallelujah. Brother Hughes, you got anything stirring over there? I feel something.
So la mani e catera coso alla variere che sotto le nina lo sole che so bole calebe so mane cale coso la mani no.
You are the army of Joel. You are the ones that will march together and not break ranks. I've told you in my word that wherever the sole of your feet would tread, that would belong to you. I told you in my word that you would tread upon the scorpions and the serpents and all the power of the enemy. Now is the time for you to arise and begin to tread out the land and begin to possess that which rightfully belongs to you, because you now live in the land of promise. What I have promised, I will do. What I have said, I will bring it to pass. None shall hinder. All that I require of you is that you rise up and in my name take back that which belongs to me, for I have given it unto you. It is my solemn promise.
Yes, oh yeah, but yay, oh yeah, but can you say, I live so tota, la beta ka, no pe, kalama say.
I've given you my name, I've given you my blood, I've given you that which you have need of in order to win. I have not given you that to cause your defeat, but I've given you that to cause you to walk in victory. So rise up and take my name. Using my name is the very same as putting me on the scene. And when you use my name, I will come. And my host of my army will come. And the enemy shall be driven back. And I once again will shine forth my light in your life and upon this land. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's give him a praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to remind you again, November the 3rd is what? Friends Day. Not Wednesday. Friends Day. Friends Day. So you need to be working on that. Amen. We're going to do a giveaway. Friday night prayer. Is that right? Sign up sheet in the back for the all night prayer meeting. You know, so get your name on it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May lift his countenance to you, be gracious to you, and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you soon.